You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
The Parliament's monsoon session is underway, and the wise men who lead India have approved legislation this week that is expected to help the government bring back fugitives involved in white-collar crimes to stand trial in India. It is called the Fugitive Economic Offenders Bill 2018, FEO in short. The Lok Sabha had cleared the bill on the 19th of July and the Rajya Sabha on the 25th of July. This bill will become law once it receives the President's assent. The main difference in the new bill, it will empower the government to seize both local and overseas assets of alleged offenders who chose not to return to India to stand trial even after arrest warrants were issued. And that is what we'll be digging deep into today. My name is Rakesh. Welcome to another episode of Digging Deeper with Money Control, FEO Bill Edition.
All you need to know about the Fugitive Economic Offenders Bill,
an exclusive on Money Control.
Stand-in Finance Minister Piyush Goyal told the Rajya Sabha that the FEO bill will help authorities confiscate properties of fugitives even before they're convicted. The External Affairs Ministry said 28 Indians involved in financial irregularities have fled the country between 2015 and June 2018. The list includes data provided by the CBI and the Enforcement Directorate. You might recognize some of the names on that list: Vijay Mallya, Nirav Modi, Nishal Modi, Mehul Choksi, and ex-IPL commissioner Lalit Modi. Remember the feeling of deja vu when you read that Mallya or Nirav Modi had escaped the country? We assume they have fled for good and there's nothing anyone can do about it. Well, the government intends to make them pay. Looks like the government, or at least some of them, have their ears close to the ground. Rajya Sabha Chairman and the Vice President of India, M. Venkaiah Naidu, remarked in the Upper House this week that what agitated the common man in the country was whether the system was helpless in dealing with economic offenders. The FEO bill has a pretty clear aim: target fugitives in offences exceeding 100 crore rupees in value. Why 100 crores? Goyal said it was being done to catch the big offenders and not to clog the courts. The proposed law will extend to loan defaulters and fraudsters, as well as to individuals who violate laws governing taxes, black money, Benami properties and financial corruption. Any individual attempting to evade the Indian legal process from the date of the enactment of the law is covered by this bill. Any seizure of property will not be limited to property acquired through the proceeds or profits of the crime. For example, more than one property belonging to Vijay Mallya has been auctioned off after he failed to appear in court. Mallya is absconding and, according to many reports, is a fairly comfortable fugitive somewhere in the United Kingdom. Some also say he misses the Bangalore weather in the current heat wave that has struck England. Well, probably not, but we couldn't find him to verify that particular claim. The FEO bill also allows confiscation of Benami properties. The ED will serve as the agency that implements this FEO law. The government has included a fail-safe to protect itself and its officers from legal liabilities. People classified as fugitives will also not be able to pursue civil cases in India unless they come back to India and face prosecution. If the alleged offender returns to India and submits to the appropriate jurisdictional court at any point of time prior to the declaration, all proceedings under the FEO bill would cease. Simple question next: who is a fugitive economic offender? A person is declared a fugitive economic offender, or FEO, when an arrest warrant has been issued against him or her for specified offences over 100 crore rupees in value, and when such an individual has left the country and refuses to return to face prosecution. There are 55 economic offences covered under this definition, including tax evasion, money laundering, transactions defrauding creditors, Benami transactions, counterfeiting government stamps or currency, and dishonouring cheques. The bill makes provisions for a special court under the Prevention of Money Laundering Act 2002 to declare a defaulter as fugitive economic offender. If the special court is satisfied that an individual is indeed a fugitive economic offender, it can instruct the central government to confiscate the proceeds of the crime that are within India or abroad, whether or not such property is owned by the fugitive economic offender, and any other property or Benami property in India or abroad that is owned by the fugitive economic offender. Now, it's an easy guess that while confiscation of property within India poses no real problem for the government, confiscating properties outside India will require the cooperation of whatever country or countries are involved. But it can have indirect fallouts that make for interesting headlines. Recently, a US bankruptcy court was told by a court-appointed executive that the Indian government's decree to track down fugitives who have committed white-collar crimes was one of the reasons for the tepid response to the auction of assets of companies owned by fugitive jeweler Nirav Modi. The court-appointed executive was referring to the FEO Ordinance 2018 that allows the Indian government to attach properties of absconding offenders both within the country and overseas, like we've been saying. On the 26th of February, Nirav Modi's Firestar Diamond and two other affiliates, Fantasy Inc. and Ajaf Inc. in the US, filed for bankruptcy protection through a voluntary petition. They blamed supply chain distribution. A month later, based on a request from these companies, a US court allowed Modi's firms to sell part of their assets to pay back some of their foreign lenders, including HSBC. Ajaf decided to put $16.3 million of assets up for auction, including $10 million in inventory and $6.3 million in account receivables. However, the process managed a highest bid of only $8 million, made by Paramount Jewels, formerly Parag Diamonds, a New York-based firm that is also run by an Indian-born diamond trader. Anyway, back to the FEO bill now. Once a person is declared a fugitive economic offender, he or she loses the right to defend any civil claim under the bill and ordinance. The FEO bill allows any court or tribunal to bar a fugitive economic offender from filing or defending any civil claim before it. The court may even restrict a company from filing or defending any civil claim if the promoter, manager, MD, CEO, or majority shareholder has been declared a fugitive economic offender. Maintaining the primacy of innocent until proven guilty, the burden of proof to establish that an individual is a fugitive economic offender or that a property is part of the proceeds of a crime falls on the director appointed to file an application seeking FEO status. Mint reported that the bill was initially drawn up as part of the 2017 budget in order to apprehend willful defaulters. The bill was not passed when it was first introduced in the budget session of 2017. The government implemented an FEO ordinance until a proper law was framed. Once the ordinance was in place, the Enforcement Directorate began the process of tagging Mallya, Modi and Choksi as fugitives. Why was such a law needed in the first place? Piyush Goyal perhaps inadvertently said it best. He said, "Criminal law does not allow us to impound their property." We hear a lot about how India's laws are adequate but are poorly enforced. In its analysis of the subject, Business Standard noted that existing provisions of the law do not impede fugitive economic offenders. This, according to legal experts, is because the extradition between India and other countries is generally cumbersome. Anuj Berry, who is a partner with the law firm Shardul Amarchand Mangaldas, went on to say, and I quote, "India is not a favoured country in case of extradition requests. Courts in the UK have rejected the extradition requests on the ground that the jail condition in India was inhumane and that the accused could not be guaranteed a fair prosecution." Unquote. This unexpected argument was most recently on display in connection with Vijay Mallya's extradition request. Confiscation of property belonging to offenders is already allowed under different laws. The Prevention of Money Laundering Act, that is the PML Act of 2002, prescribes three stages before the final confiscation of an accused's property: provisional attachment of the property, confirmation of the attachment pursuant to adjudication, and the confiscation of the property subject to conviction. Ajay Bhargav, a lawyer with the firm Khaitan & Co., says, and I quote, "If the alleged offender cannot be brought before the court to participate in the trial and defend himself, the objective of the existing laws is often frustrated." Unquote. This is because, under existing laws, the power of the court is limited to attachment of properties of the offender which was secured or the properties which are proceeds of the alleged crimes. Under the PML Act, only the proceeds of crime or such property that is involved in money laundering attract the provisions of attachment. That act says all the properties attached shall vest with the central government. An administrator is responsible for maintenance and custody of these attached properties. Under the new FEO bill, the special court is allowed to authorize confiscation of all properties owned by the fugitive offender. This is expected to help banks and other financial institutions achieve higher recovery from financial defaults committed by fugitive economic offenders, thereby improving the overall financial condition of these institutions. However, experts foresee several legal challenges in its implementation that may mitigate the deterrence from the threat of forfeiture that is expected to give economic offenders leaving the country some pause. One is, of course, the ineffective extradition that is a feature of Indian law enforcement. While it had other dimensions and compulsions to it, many of them political, the prominent instance of the embarrassingly ineffective case the CBI made in Argentina for extraditing a certain Italian gentleman by the name of Ottavio Quattrocci stands out. On the 6th of February 2007, Quattrochi was detained in Argentina on the basis of the Interpol warrant. The CBI was criticized for its half-hearted effort towards Quattrochi's extradition. India lost the case for his extradition, and the judge remarked that India did not even present proper legal documents. Worse, India was asked to pay Quattrochi's legal expenses. So yeah, extradition, so far, not India's strong suit. Legal experts also emphasize that there is a need to iron out several loopholes. The provision that any court can disentitle any person from putting forward or defending any civil action if he or she is declared a fugitive economic offender is seen as draconian. Anuj Berry points out, and I quote, "A challenge may be made against such provision on the ground that it is disproportionate and arbitrary." Another lawyer, Chandrasekhar Thampi of Kocher & Company, said this provision punishes not only the fugitive economic offender, but also minority shareholders of the company who likely had nothing to do with the crime. He added, and I quote, "From the standpoint of constitutionality, this provision may face a challenge on the ground that it seeks to oust the principle of natural justice." Unquote. Further, as more than one news outlet has noted, legal experts are of the opinion that the draft of the FEO bill that is in the public domain does not provide for a situation where confiscated property is in excess of the claims against the fugitive offender. Ajay Bhargava says, "There may be a challenge to the predetermination of the status of the property as proceeds of crime without considering evidence and without trial." Unquote. Such provisions could well add up to taking away the right of the accused to pursue or defend civil proceedings. This runs contrary to basic tenets of justice and fair play, and also falls afoul of our constitution. Moreover, as Berry points out, even if the scope of the proposed bill is restricted to offences whose value is 100 crore rupees or more, it could just as easily be circumvented by mischievous or devious actions. Politicians of all hues expressed apprehensions over different aspects of the bill. V. Vijay Sai Reddy of YSRCP said the bill does not address high-value stake defaults that could be done through multiple transactions at various places while still being under 100 crore rupees individually, but could, in total, be above the 100 crore figure. He said any loss to creditors must be minimized and the corporate veil lifted for such crimes. MV Rajiv Gowda of the Congress opined that the objective of the proposed law should be preventing economic offenders from fleeing the country rather than bringing them back to face prosecution. Prasanna Acharya of Odisha's Biju Janata Dal supported the bill but added that the legislation has to be legally sustainable. He said the provision of 100 crore rupees should be removed. Majid Memon of the NCP said there is a need to punish public servants who assist offenders in fleeing the country. An AIADMK representative asked that the government increase the quantum of punishment as well as monetary penalties for such economic offenders. And an anecdote from recent times to add to the FEO bill. On the 26th of July, a special court declared Nirav Modi and Mehul Choksi FEOs and handed down summons for the 25th and 26th of September, respectively. At around the same time came news that Mehul Choksi had taken up citizenship of the country of Antigua in November 2017. English-speaking Antigua is one of the two major Caribbean islands that make up Antigua and Barbuda. Nope, Barbuda is not another name for Barbados. Antigua has a population of nearly 1 lakh, many of whom are retired billionaires. Add one more to that list, I suppose. India does not have any bilateral extradition treaty with Antigua, but it can still seek recourse under money laundering charges through the Caribbean Financial Action Task Force. Antigua is a member of the Financial Action Task Force, an intergovernmental watchdog which combats money laundering. But it's anybody's guess what will happen to any extradition attempt, considering Choksi is now the proud owner of an Antiguan passport. The government has fired its first salvo with its new armament. It will certainly be interesting to see how they play the game. Now,
this is an exclusive podcast on Money Control.